RCR with Paul Brennan. Reality Check Radio.
Winstone Pulp International is closing down Karioi Pulp Mill and Tangiwai Sawmill because of crippling electricity prices. Winstone Pulp is the largest employer in the Ruapehu district, with approximately 230 employees due to be out of work. Yes, out of work. To talk about this, and I know he's concerned, Weston Curtin, the mayor of Ruapehu district, joins RCR. Weston, thanks for coming on.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Sounds like a disaster.
Absolute disaster for our community, considering there's 230 jobs plus other regions exactly the same. Now, when you consider that they are contractors and associated with the mill, so devastating for the communities and region and probably the whole country when you consider that this could actually go further to other companies as well, because it's the same problem, pricing for electricity at this time.
Does it make you angry?
I don't sleep well at night, of course, and I feel like I'm the captain on a ship that's got 200 odd people, passengers, and we're on a tilt, and it's hard to rectify it.
I think I saw you quoted as saying that this is a cancer that's been growing for many years. Is that what you said?
Yes, I did say that, because this has been going on probably up to a decade when we considered, other alternative energy generation, and of course that was solar and wind and looking at other options like thermal power. But what they did predict, of course, is that electric cars would be on the way, would have new industries, would have new housing, for example, and all those demand more electricity. And of course that always has been in the forefront of these energy companies. They've gone and got consents and appears that have not kept pace with the demand that is not both local and manufacturing. So I think that, yes, this has been ongoing, and I don't think the watchdog, the electricity authority, have been at the steering wheel, and I think that that's time for that to change.
What has Winstone actually told you of their plans? What have they said?
Well, what they're saying, of course, is that they're in a consultation phase at the moment. Last night was a reflection of that, but they have been working hard with not only the energy companies and negotiations, but the ministers involved, saying that they are against the wall, they can't compete overseas because their competitors are paying less. One-sixth of the energy cost, for example, is one example. They can't compete with their competitors to get onto the same market. So it's obvious that export trade is going to be affected by that as well.
We had Shane Jones on this program last week. I asked him straight up, because we knew this was, bubbling away, let's say. And I asked him if there was any role for the government in offsetting somehow, and that would be money, I guess, these charges and the possible consequences, which we're talking about now. And he sort of skirted around and started talking about, importing liquefied natural gas, and also, looking at ways to generate more power. But that doesn't help in the short term. Do you think the government in these situations needs to get the checkbook out, Weston?
I think there's other ways of dealing with this. One is, of course, is that they need to consider that the problem we've got with the mill in this case, and probably many others when the hedging contracts come off and they're exposed to the same sort of dilemma of spiked energy costs associated with a bad winter, as it were, or dry winter, and the wind and solar is not getting matching up is what they expected. I think what the key area is here, and that's what frustrates this community, is that on the same day that we learned that the Winston Pulp management said that they cannot continue and that 230 jobs will be at risk, that was on one day. And the following day, we learned that there's $500 million being made by profits of energy companies that have, obviously generated that income from these spikes and the like, and they have to hand over to the New Zealand government, being a major shareholder, a 50% shareholder, handing over by way of dividend to the government to go into the pockets of all New Zealanders. What the community are upset about is that those profits, like many other New Zealanders, have not gone into reinvestment, not kept up with the pace of what their demands have been over the last decade, Then we have these people go on benefits, for example. It's obvious that we need to correct that and reset our thinking of allowing these sort of companies to make these profits to actually give back by way of dividend to the New Zealand government. And then the government say that they can't afford or won't give any bailout. It just doesn't make sense. There's an obvious conclusion to this is that they should share some of those profits that they made that go back into the consolidated fund to allow this business to reset, to overcome some of the short-term, I call short-term dilemma, allow for some space to actually get on with the job of more generation. And that's not unreasonable. And I don't think the whole of New Zealand Inc. Would be objective to that. It doesn't set that precedent, I don't think, because we can see that the money that was earned is money that I consider to be borne by inappropriate means.
There's talk of mothballing. What does that really mean? How long does it take to crank the handle again after mothballing? It sounds like a huge task for a big operation like a mill like that or sawmills or whatever. What do you know about that?
Well, I can only go on past experience where you get a situation where the like the ski fields, for example, if you mothball that or you have a pause, you run the risk of not having the people power, if I could use that phrase, to actually start up again. So while you have good intentions to start up again sometime in the near future, what happens to the people's lives in the meantime? We've got people that are already making inquiries to go overseas, for example, and doing other things and being trained to do other things. So you lose that pull, you lose that community, you lose that expertise and experience that's been going on for decades. And I think this is the big thing here. You're actually allowing our community to bleed to death and then expect if it is possible, and we don't know that, whether or not it's going to be reignited, if you like. So it's so important to do our best to find ways and means of actually getting on with the job of keeping this open and keeping the lights on until such time we get space. And I appreciate that there could well be criticism that this particular business is suffering because of other reasons. In this case, it's been going on for decades. It's a sustainable product. It's a product that is exported for the benefit of New Zealand. And now we're faced with this dilemma. And so the pricing, the electricity pricing, like many other businesses in New Zealand, are suffering because of the spikes that they're experiencing when the hedging comes off. So a contract that they had, say, for 3 or 4 years comes off and they're exposed to high pricing that affects their business overnight. And so what I'm saying is this is a tip of the iceberg. It could well be that many others will be coming off a hedging contract and they'll be faced with the same dilemma. So if that's what the government feel is appropriate and that the market should dictate the future of these businesses, then New Zealand's got a real problem and most people will be looking elsewhere to actually get work.
I don't know too much about generating electricity, Weston, but the cost of generation stays the same, doesn't it?
Well, they're probably not asking the correct, asking the right.
Well, one assumes. I mean, all the plant and machinery is still there. Okay, you might be nervous about the hydro lakes and all of that, but in the end, the actual physical cost of generation hasn't changed. Really, has it?
No, that's quite right. I mean, we've got a plant here, both just down the road from where I am. It's been going for 100 years, still pumping out energy for the country in the national grid. So that's 100 years old and still going. So if we can actually, increase production or produce generation through what we've got at the moment, that must be far cheaper than, trying to wait for, solar and wind, for example. I mean, here in Tongaroa, where I live, the wind farms would be a waste of time because we just simply don't have wind. We're the calmest part of the world, in the country anyway. So, some doesn't fit in some parts of the country and it just can't keep up. The percentage of solar and wind, as I understand it, is only a small part, 5% at best, of our total generation. Hydro generation is the key to the success, I think, of our future generation needs. It's just a matter of actually getting on with the job. And it'd be a sad situation, and I understand that there's consents out there to increase our capacity, but they've been sat on for years, and they apparently there's promise of actually doing this generation is so slow that it's been outpaced by the needs of our country. And for goodness sake, we're trying to promote EV vehicles, for example, on one hand. On the other hand, we can't even fulfill our obligations at the moment for what we've got.
Yeah, I guess the previous question was really, I was thinking, why not just maintain the current hedging contracts until things ease up? And it wouldn't, no one takes a hit, really, do they, except the pure operation of the market?
I think you're absolutely right. I think a conclusion to this is actually capping, so setting the scene, as it were, you know, what does it cost to actually generate? And I think that's what you're coming to. I think that's absolutely right, and that was pointed out last night with an expert or a person that works at the bill in the office, I think, was saying that it's got to be capped. And I think that's what I'm saying about, you know, handing over some of the money that is coming from the profits, is that they could do that with the aim of actually setting a price. So you could actually, for example, even have a holding company, the government buy the energy. They buy it off the generators and actually sell that on to the likes of Winston Pulp, for example, for a price that's negotiable. Similar to what you're saying is that we have a set price which is compatible with what they've been paying. So you carry on with that basically hedging contract. I think that's the way forward, because if it worked and they're happy with that price up until recently, then that's where we need that extra space to extending a contract with the similar. So they're not actually getting a free lunch. They're actually continuing on with a contract that they could live with.
Yeah. How long have you got, Weston, before the you-know-what hits the fan?
2nd of September, which is, you know, Nick, coming up very quickly, is the end of the consultation period, as I understand. Then the management have probably completed their consultation, and then they make the call. We're dealing with overseas owners, and, of course, they you know, obviously trying their best to actually resurrect the situation, waiting, of course, for the government, if at all, to, you know, come up with a plan. I know that the CEO is working hard behind the scenes with the Mercury Energy Company to try and broker a deal. It's been obviously discussed at the Parliament level. We have every MP basically batting for us. We have every council, every individual around the region batting for us. And I think hopefully there will be a thread of hope that actually we can broker a deal with the energy company in some shape or form. But it's sort of out of my lane as to how that's going to unfold.
And what do you say to the folks who could be affected, your people, Weston? What do you say to them?
Well, I said that last night at the public meeting, saying that I've just come back from rattling the cage down in Wellington. I was fortunate enough to see the Prime Minister, Shane Jones, the opposition leader, and Chris Bishop, the people that matter, and our local MP, of course. I've just said to them that we've got people bleeding here, waiting for some answers. They want some justice, and it's not their fault that this pricing mechanism has failed, and that we need to have recognition of the fact that these people have paid in good faith their power bills, only to hear that their job's at risk because of profits they've been made and not channeled in the right direction. And if we could have some help, some financial help would be very useful and also appropriate for not only our region but the rest of the country.
Well, good luck, Weston. I think most New Zealanders do have a big problem with the way things are now, and will be very sympathetic and concerned for folk in your area. Thanks for coming on RCR, Weston Curtin, Ruapehu District Mayor. We'll follow this, Weston, and maybe we can have another chat when there are more developments.
Much appreciated, and media have been fantastic, so we really applaud that.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.